In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Back when I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s, there was a magical bubble bath. I saw ads for this magical bubble bath when I was growing up, and always there was the power that this bubble bath seemed to have. This bubble bath, for those of you who may remember, was called Calgon. Remember? Calgon? Yes, good. There's some folks who remember Calgon. It was magic. It would transport beleaguered mothers and housewives away from the chaos of their world and into a magical land of healing and restoration that this bubble bath would provide. And always there were magic words. Of course, because it was a magic thing, it had to have magic words that came along with it. And who remembers what those magical words were? Yes, good. Calgon, take me away. Yes, yes. Calgon, take me away. That poor, beleaguered mother would be whisked away into a land of overflowing bubbles and a chance to recuperate and get on with their lives. Calgon, take me away. It's one of those expressions that just stuck in my head. I don't think I ever used Calgon. It wasn't something that I ever bought. My parents didn't buy it. But that line, Calgon, take me away. And there are still times now, although these many years later, where I will say to myself, when things are getting a little crazy and a little wild, Calgon, take me away. So I want to suggest to you this morning that Peter and James and John are having a Calgon, take me away moment in their lives. And it's not necessarily clear from this lesson that we just heard from the gospel, but the thing is that things have been difficult for Peter and James and John, and we don't see it here, but there's been some stuff going on. So what's that stuff? Well, first of all, life hasn't been simple. It's been joyous, but it hasn't been simple. They've been traveling with Jesus, and they have seen healings and feedings. They have been a part of, they've even seen demons cast out. They have been a part of this sort of breaking in of God's kingdom, and they participated in this. And it has been amazing because they have seen scores upon people being healed, being renewed, being welcomed. But what that also means is that they have had to surround themselves with a great deal of suffering. There have been people who have been hurt, hungry, sick, demon-possessed. There's been all of this brokenness that they have been surrounded by. And so that hasn't been simple for them. They've had to try to take that all in, all that pain and suffering in, as they have looked to participate with Jesus in his ministry. But what makes it even more difficult for Peter and James and John is that they have had, in the last week ago from this lesson, in that previous week, Jesus had asked them a question. First, who do the crowd say that I am? To which the answer was, you're a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But then Jesus turned the question to the disciples and said to them, but who do you say that I am? And the answer that Peter has is, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And this isn't the right answer. And Jesus, in Luke's gospel at least, praises good old Peter for this answer. But he also says, yeah, but, to hearken back to last week, yeah, but I am going to have to go to Jerusalem, be rejected by the religious and political authorities, be executed, and only then on the third day rise again. And to this, Peter says, absolutely not. This can't be. This is not what we had in mind. This is not what we imagined. This cannot happen. And so Jesus and Peter fight, each rebuking the other. And in the midst of this, Jesus calls the rest of the disciples and he says to them, not only is this going to happen, not only do I have to go to Jerusalem, but if you want to be my follower, you have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. You have to take on the suffering and brokenness of this world. You have to risk with me to love fully if you want to be my disciple. You have to risk the rejection that I will face. You have to risk your lives as I risk mine. It's only in that that you will know what it means to be my follower, to be my disciple. And so it's right from that, that then a week later, on the eighth day, that Jesus brings with him Peter and James and John. And we have to imagine that they are saying to themselves, Calgon, take me away, right? We have to imagine that them going up on that mountain, that they're gonna get a respite, that they're gonna get a break, that they're gonna be able to escape if just for a moment and just for a time. But of course, what happens when they get there? It's not simple by any stretch, is it? When they get there, we get Jesus appearing, glowing brilliantly. We get the two principal figures representing the tradition from which they belong, Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet. And so they have essentially the whole witness of God's work in the world and God's work with and covenant relationship with the people of God embodied there in Moses and Elijah. And there they are talking. And the disciples, Peter and James and John, they are both kind of asleep, right? We get this sense that they were really, really sleepy, but they weren't quite asleep. And it's in that space that they want to suggest that maybe this would be a great place just to stay. Let's stay here. Let's build some booths and let's hang out right here from now on. Let's escape this world and let us find here this moment of bubble bathness, I want to suggest. But that's not what they are given, is it? Instead, this cloud descends, and out of that cloud comes the divine voice. This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. This is not just a, hey, pay attention type of a moment. This is a moment of revelation. This is a moment where the eyes of the disciples are meant to be open fully to the glory of God, to the glory of God revealed in Christ. This is a moment that is not just in this moment, but it seems to push forward, while at the same time it pushes back. It calls to mind what Moses, Moses' face glowing on Mount Sinai. But it also points forward to the resurrection and the culmination that is to come here on that mountaintop. Here on that mountaintop, they are shown the true nature of Christ. They shown him the glory that is veiled by this present world that we live in. And this voice says, listen to him. And in that listening, then, they are to take on the hard words of Jesus. They have to hear these words that we have heard over the last few weeks, like love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Like blessed are the poor, but woe to the rich. Like Jesus eating with outcasts and sinners. and including people who they would deem to be unfit for God's kingdom. Always there is this stretching that this listening invites them into this place of having to take in the hard news, the hard word that Jesus has to offer, knowing that that word is also a word of liberation, a word that frees, that allows one to live fully in the world. And they are going to have to come off that mountain, aren't they? Down into the world, living into their discipleship, walking that hard road, lifting up their cross, and following Jesus. I don't know about all of you, but these days, Calgon Take Me Away has been something that's just been kind of floating in my life, right? These are hard times, right? And here we are as a community gathered at a time where many of us have lost homes, lost ways of lives, lost businesses. But we also look at the country around us and the transformation that is being ushered in by the presidential regime. And we, I think, rightfully, would long for an escape, long to get away, long to find that magical bubble bath that we could slip into and let the world melt away. And yet that is not what Jesus would have us do. Instead, that divine voice says, as it said to the disciples, says to us, "This is my Son, the Chosen. Listen to him." And that listening means that we are called to be in the world. We are called to be in the world as agents of love, of truth, of justice, of peace. That we are called to be a people who bear witness to the depths of God's love and grace and forgiveness for all people, not just the people who we are closest to. We're called in this place, at this time, to be nourished and fed so that we can go out into the world and bear witness to God's light and God's love. This is our call. And yet it's not just a burden that we are being given in this lesson today. We're not just being given the burden of discipleship and the call to follow Christ, to take up our own cross, and to be with him. We also hear on that mountaintop and here in this place are invited to catch a glimpse of God's glory, to catch a glimpse of God's love for humanity, to catch a glimpse of the salvation that Christ offers us. And so amidst of the brokenness of this world, we can be a people of joy. We can be a people of hope. We can be a people of faith, sharing the love that God has given us. Here this morning, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, God's glory is being revealed. The veil is being put aside. And God's light and God's love is shining here in this place. Let us be fed, nourished, and enlivened here as we listen to the word of Christ. Let us hear in this place, hear that word, see that light, and then carry God's love out into the streets. Amen.